Glad to be here. I am so thankful that I was able to get out of bed this morning. It's getting old, it's hard. So anyways, if you're old and you feel like you're old and you know you're old and you're on top of the grass, you're in good shape. This morning, I'm going to be in Romans chapter 1. And I want you to understand that when we talk about the depravity of men, some people think that they are not totally depraved or they're not totally messed up because they say, look, I don't do all the things that these other folks do. Well, I want you to understand that the reason you don't do the things those other folks do is because God, by His Spirit, has restrained you. Even if He has not saved you, He has restrained you from being as bad as you could be. Because if I did just part of the things that go through this old head up here, it would be bad. And I ain't trying to talk about things that we think about, but some of the things that go through our head, if we actually brought them forth, we would be like Hitler's and Stalin's and all those other folks and people who killed thousands of Jews at one time and thousands of people at one time. Because God has restrained us, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that we're not as bad as we could be, even though we're absolutely as bad as we had to be. We were every bit as bad as we had to be to go to hell.
Yep.
There was nothing in us, nothing ever about us that was good enough to keep us out of heaven. In fact, the Bible says when we were born sinners.
Yep.
If you're a sinner, that means your destination is the wrath of God, the anger of God is already ready to be, judgment has done been made in your case. You have done been, as it said in Daniel, you have been weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting. You're in need. And unless God shows grace on you, unless God shows mercy on you, you will continue to go through your life saying, I'm better than them. I'm better than those. And one day God's going to look at all the great good things that I have done and He'll weigh me in the balance and naturally my goodness, now my wickedness will be what He sees poking up, because without the blood of Jesus Christ, and I want to say the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for the remission of my sins and your sins if you're a believer, if you're ever going to be a believer, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. If this sounds like a bloody religion that we got, it is. It is. I started preaching before I read. Let's get into Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to start in about verse 18. Although all the verses before that are very good verses. I love every one of them. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Man looks at each other and says, I'm not going to condemn his sin, because he'll turn around and look at my sin and condemn my sin. So they have pleasures in each other instead of judgment, instead of looking at what we ought to do. But let's start back from the beginning. It says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, if we look at some of the systems we talked about during Sunday school, there are a whole lot of people that are religious. There are a whole lot of people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There are a whole lot of people who act godly or want to act godly, but they have a wrong attitude about it. It says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. If you're involved in a false religious system, God is against you. God's wrath is going to come down on you. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. In other words, we've already seen it from the very get-go when God brought the flood. When God said there's going to be another judgment coming. When God has said there's going to be a time when all men will stand before Him. We all understand through conscience, through the understanding that when God created all these things, we know that there is a God. The Bible just said so. The Bible says, in fact, even the non-believer knows that there's a God. He may suppress it, he may hide it, he may push it down, he may try to walk away from it or get out of the presence of it. But even the unbeliever, in their spirit of their self, know without a doubt there is a God. There is someone who's going to judge them. There is someone to be feared. There is someone who will take notice of them one day and judge them for everything that they have done. And so they try to suppress this thing. They try to push God down. And they try to push God down. And say, if I can just keep God pushed back, if I don't go listen to no preaching, if I don't go hear nothing about God, if I just stay with my crowd of sinful folks that I hang around with, if they're all good and going to heaven and I am too, if I can just hide the fact that God is out there and deny it long enough, if I just leave Him alone and He'll leave me alone. I've heard that said before. Me and Jesus got a good thing going on. I don't bother Him and He don't bother me. Whoa. Believe me, He's going to bother you one day. He may not bother you right now, but He's going to bother you one day. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, there is something in every single soul, every single person, that there is no way you can run from it. There's no way you can hide from it. That there is a God, and creation backs it. Creation shows it. It says, God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. If they sit around, these atheist folks, say, well, I don't believe there's a God. It doesn't mean that they don't know He's there. They're just denying the fact of it. They just can't stand it. They just try to stay away from it. And the more they try to stay away from it, the more they prove He is. It says, because that which is known of God is manifest in them. Who did the manifesting? God did. God's the one that put these feelings inside of every person to know there's a God. To know there's something that should be worshipped. But men, because they hate God so much, they'll make up their own God. Let's just take the Israelites. God brings them out of Egypt. First of all, before he brings them out of Egypt, there are 7 to 10 plagues he pours out on Egypt. He wipes out total everything about Egypt. Then they see all that eyes. They see all that. Then they go to the Red Sea, and here comes Egypt all the way against them. They start murmuring and claiming, "Oh, what we're going to do now?" God splits the Red Sea. And they cross on dry ground. And no sooner than they get across, and the sea wipes out Egypt, and they get out there and they say, "Now what we're going to do? They brought us into the desert just to let us die and mumble and grumble." These people knew God. These people knew He existed. They seen what He could do. Then they get to Mount Sinai, and Moses is up on the mountain making, with God writing down the law on the tablets. God's writing it down. Moses is just taking it. But while he's on the mountain, while Moses is up there, the people break off all their earrings, and there it says, "And I threw it in the fire, and a cow came out." Right. Somebody beat that thing out. Somebody hammered it out. Somebody whittled it out. And they poured gold all around this thing. And they said, "Now we have a God." They had a God. They knew God. They knew exactly who He was. And as soon as they got out of His sight, they make a idol. Don't tell me you don't know about God. It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made." In other words, even the guys as dumb as me can understand there's a God. The guys who are as uneducated as I am can understand. Even the creature understands from the creation that something bigger, something more powerful, something more holy is involved in all this stuff and not we ourselves. We didn't get made first and then we figured out how to make the world. The world was made and then we were added to it. It says here, "The creation of the world is clearly seen, being understood by the thing which is made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." If you think you're going to leave this world, if you think you're going to stand in front of God and say, "Oops, God, I just didn't know You were there. I just had no kind of concept that You existed. I would have never thought it. I mean, who would have thought there was a God?" Without excuse. That won't float. That won't float. You will never be able to stand in front of God and say, "I never knew. Wow. Here You are. Let me worship You now. Let me praise You now." He's going to say, whoa, it's too late. You had opportunity when you knew I was there. You had it in your heart to worship Me in truth. You had it in your heart to know I've existed. You had it in your heart to come to Me. But you, well, no. You are without excuse. You know what without excuse means? Hopeless. Without hope. You were without any answer. When Dad stood in front of me and said, "Who broke the cookie jar?" There wasn't but one guy in the house. "Well, I don't know, Dad. It was, you know, dog did it." No. He looked at me and said, "You're without excuse. That won't float." He says, "But," no, "because." "Because that when they knew God," every one of us has opportunity to know God. Every one of us has known the existence of God. Every one of us has known the creation of God. "But because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." These Egyptians knew God. They knew, they could see what He has done. They could see the plagues. They could see the Red Sea. They could see the smoke and the fire on the mountain. They could see the pillar in the day. They could see the flame at night. There was no doubt about the fact that God was there. And they still made a ox or a cow. "And this is our God." That's what they said. "This is our God that brought us out." It says, "Because when they knew God, instead of giving Him honor, instead of giving Him glory, instead of giving Him praise, instead of saying, 'Yes, Lord, You have delivered us. We are to worship You and praise You and acknowledge You and be thankful for what You do.' Instead, we're going to turn from God and we're going to make us an ox And we're going to bow down and worship and play in front of that ox. Because men do not like being restrained by what they call the restraint of God. In fact, it's not the restraint of God, it's the liberty of God. When Jesus saves a person, He doesn't pound them down with all kind of rules and regulations. He says, if you love Me. He pounds us down with a grace, a mercy, a love of God. And because of that love of God, we do the things of God. We're not under any kind of legalistic system to bow down and do this or that. We do these things because of love. I can only imagine why a holy God would save a creature like me. Why would He even spend 2 minutes even thinking about me, even a minute? He knew what I was. He knows who I am. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That's what it says in Hebrews. You must know who He is. You must believe who He is. You must understand He is God, and those that come to Him must believe that He is and can do what He says He does. Neither were they thankful. Boy, we're a bunch of those, ain't we?
Yeah.
All the stuff we got, and we sitting there, oh man, we could have had better this, we could have had better that. Oh man, if you just make me in the rich neighborhood or this neighborhood. We are never, ever thankful.
Right.
They had manna. When He spoke to the rock, the water came out. When they went to the place, there's thousands and thousands of people, and they've got just a few palm trees out there in the desert, and they were tickled to death. How much shade you would get from that, all them people? But they had water. But never were they ever thankful. Well, thank you, God, for giving us the water and everything that You give us here, all this manna. No, we want some meat. We want some quails. We want some, something good. What's wrong with the stuff He was giving you? It was sustaining you. It filled you. It took care of your thirst. Took care of your hunger. That's just not good enough. Won't do it. We're like that. I'm like that. It says, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You understand that the more unthankful we get, the darker we get. We can get totally dark if we don't watch out. It says, they were unthankful, and in their vain imaginations. Ooh, I don't want to go nowhere up here where this imagination goes on. It can get you in trouble. It can mess you up. It comes up with some corrupt things.
Yeah.
In their vain imaginations and their foolish hearts. I'm going to come up with a better way than God. I'm going to come up with a niftier thing to do. And God's going to look down and say, wow, that's better than the blood of Jesus. Look at there. Come on, really? If it took the blood of Jesus Christ, the very holiest, perfect thing of God there is, to save men, you think you're going to come up with a better way? A better plan? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Men have been making themselves into fools from the very beginning. Abel brought this sacrifice of blood. Cain brought the work of his hands. And then Cain gets mad because the work of his hands wasn't good enough, when all he had to do was bring a lamb. He probably had a pile of them, even though he was a gardener, even though he was a farmer. You can't tell me that every farm I've ever been on didn't have a cow or a sheep or a goat somewhere. He could have brought the right sacrifice. You can't tell me that Adam didn't tell them both about what the right sacrifice was. They both knew who God was. Because it says, and God spoke to him, where's your brother at?
Yeah.
Hello? The one who killed his brother, the one who was a sinner. God actually reached out and says, hey, where's your brother? What's happened to him? I don't see him around. God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly. He says that his blood crieth from the ground. God knew everything about him. And yet this man, you could say, well, he didn't know God like the other one did. Yeah, he talked to both of them. Wouldn't that be something? Of course, God stood up and talked to the Israelites. He spoke from the mountain. And they said, oh, Moses, Don't let God speak to us anymore. How about you speak to us for Him? Because He scares us to death. I mean, really. They knew who God was. And changed. Boy, we're good at this. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, which we're supposed to worship in truth and spirit. Changed the uncorruptible God into an image. Now, in Colossians, we know that Jesus was the stamped out, facsimile, exact image of God. But this thing that they made was not the exact image of God. It says, men changed the uncorruptible glory into the image made like corruptible man. I'm fallen. You're fallen. We have been messed up. From the very get-go, when Adam sinned, we were covered in sin. Sin has had more to do with us than there is. And we're going to take and build us a nice statue of a man, or the resemblance of a man, and we're going to fall down and worship that. You can check that out in Isaiah 44 if you want to. It says here, and then they changed it into the likeness of a bird. Or we're just going to have a turkey and worship a turkey or something. Or an eagle. Instead of holy God. Then it says, and if that wasn't good enough, into four-footed beasts. That gives us back to the cows and the oxes and the everything else that we got there that people worship and think so much about. And then creeping thing. Can you imagine me taking a centipede and making a thing out of that and just say, oh, centipede, take care of me and save me. No, but that's what men do. And we do the same thing nowadays. Our football teams, our football players, our higher-uppers, we think that they're going to save us. We put all of our faith and worship into them instead of into holy God and the Holy Son of God. He says, they changed the glory of God into the likeness of a man. Man, we do that. I did that before I was saved. All kind of things I worshipped and went after and ran after. Have you ever noticed all the football teams have some kind of animal? The lions, the giraffes, or whoever. All those. Oh, of course you got the Saints. Who, boy, they're probably close to being the ungodliest bunch around. And they're going to have the name called the Saints. And then, of course, you got the Redskins. Glory of a man. We follow after everything. Everywhere we go, it's everything but the truth of God. Wherefore? Not wherefore. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Men just love to lust. Men just love to go after their own things. It says, wherefore God gave them. God didn't have to. He could have made robots out of all of us and everything else. He could have made us all walk the same way. But He says, I have given you what they call will. I ain't going to say I got free will because I get adjusted every time I turn around. But I do have a will, and it's usually to sin, and sin very good. I'm a very good sinner. When I use my free will, usually I do a lot of things I ain't supposed to do. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Guess what? The devil didn't make me do it. Now don't get me wrong, the devil can entice you, the devil can tempt you, the devil can put the lure out there. Ooh, ain't that good looking, or ain't this, ain't the, ooh, that burger looks good. Whatever it may be, the devil can wave it in front of you. But it's your lust, it's your heart that makes you dive into the pond and do what you're not supposed to do. You can never stand in front of God and say, well, the devil made me do it. No, you can't. He can tempt you. He can try you. He can test you, but he can never make you. Lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We have been let go because of our own lust, because of our own wickedness, because of our imagination and stuff. And what's the first thing we just go against? Our own bodies. Our own selves. We corrupt ourselves, and we corrupt ourselves more and more and more. It says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. The body is holy. The body is sacred. The body was made for the temple of God. And yet when God steps back a little bit, first thing man does is he throws him down an idol. Then they get naked and they dance in front of it and play before it. I ain't going to try to elaborate on what all that was, but I do know one thing. It wasn't godly. It wasn't the right thing to be doing. Who changed the truth? Man, all these TV preachers changed the truth. All these things that I see on TV changed the truth. All these TV programs that sound sort of godly or whatever, if you really listen, they changed the truth of God. And what do they do it? Into a lie. God loves everybody. It was even brought up in Sunday school. A loving God would never send these nice, poor, innocent, sweet, lovable people to hell, right? Wrong? They were on their way to hell from the get-go. They were already condemned. He ain't had to send them. They were already judged. And unless Jesus Christ steps in front of your path and saves you, you'll continue on your trail straight to hell just the way you were going from the very day you were born. There wasn't a time where you were good. That's something I don't really get. But well, it's all them babies are innocent. Well, they may be innocent, but they're sinners. They may not know what you know about sin, but they're still sinners. So, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served. What keeps you out of church? What keeps you away from the church house? What are you serving? I'm not trying to get legalistic here. Don't go there with me. But I'm sitting here. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. In other words, God loves you where you're at. You could be on your bass boat fishing today. You could be out there, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You could be doing that, and so you might even mean it. I don't know. But so, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature? Boy, that fish sure is good. That deer sure is good. Whatever, I'm faulty of that. I was. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Where do we serve the Creator at? Where His people are at. Where His church is at. Where the ones who have been blood-bought, born again are at. I guarantee you they ain't all out there on their bass boat or on their four-wheelers enjoying the mountainsides or in their jeeps in the mud hole. Now, maybe a few saved ones out there. I can't say they ain't. But on the most part, they're not worshiping God out there. They're not, that they're, whatever they're doing this morning, if they're not worshiping God, they're doing ungodly things. They would change the truth of God into a lie. We don't have to go to church to go to heaven. No, you don't. That's true. But if you're on your way to heaven, you ought to want to be in God's house with God's people. You ought to. And serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If He is so blessed, if He is so worthy, if He is so to be desired, why ain't this place packed out this morning? And I know He is. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand what I said. But He is worthy that this place should be packed out. We would be knocking the wall out back and carrying this on out to the road. That's how worthy He is. But man would rather serve the creatures. Would rather serve their own lust. Would rather serve their own things than to be in the house of God serving God. He hampers me. I can't have fun. I mean, you know, I'd rather, you got to get up early to get to the lake. Ain't got time to stop at the church. And I think that's why some people have church on Saturday. So they'd be somewhere else on Sunday. Hello? I mean, it's just, you know, what can I say? Who is blessed forever? God is blessed forever. You need to get on the wagon. For this cause, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. God gave them up. He says, look, if you want to do those things, instead of me keep correcting you, instead of me keep trying to whip you into shape, instead of me trying to twist you into being a lover of me instead of a lover of these things, I'm going to let you go and do what you want to go and do. Believe me, if you want to be into some vile affection, God is not going to sit there and say, oh, no, you ain't. But now, if you're a child of God and you try to do that stuff, He will wear you out. He will get on you. He'll chasten you. He'll chastise you. If you belong to Him, He will start doing some business with you. But if you're lost, He's not going to waste His time trying to keep you from doing ungodly things because you're lost already. It says, because for this cause God gave them unto vile affections. You know that men are going to get worse and worse. I don't know if y'all read that or not. My Bible says men will get worse and worse. We're not going to get better. Look, we need to be like Jesus. The lost world ain't going to do that. In fact, I heard something in the news this week about the cross and all this. And I read down the little commentaries for people. They ridiculed them Christians for what they believed. They ridiculed them Christians for having a make-believe God. They ridiculed them Christians for everything in the world. Told them how doofy they were and goofy they were for having a God that they couldn't see and worship and all that. I said, that's where the world is at. The world is going to get worse and worse. It says, for this cause God gave them unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It starts with all of us, but here he starts with the women. Eve was the one that sinned first. Adam was caught up into it. But they changed their natural use. In other words, they quit loving their children. They quit doing things that women were supposed to do. They started trying to take on the things of being a man. Look at the world out here right now. Everybody that comes to my office looking for a job is usually female. And they want a job that ought to go to a man. You know, I'm not saying men are the only ones who can do this. But I'm saying in most cases, women are not physically built to do this job. But every one of them wants this job. They have changed the natural use of who they are, what they are, what they were designed to be and do. Women, y'all have a fabulous job. Y'all are very important. I'm not saying don't get a job. What I'm saying is you have a very important role in the house. You have been given the God-given teaching ability to train your children on how to act, on training your children on who God is, on training your children in the way to walk. It says these women gave up that ability. They gave up those duties to do their own things, to do their own stuff. They gave up the natural use and went against nature. Likewise, oh boy, here comes the men. Y'all thought I was going to leave them out, didn't you? Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the women. In other words, God had created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. There's a reason for men and women, for warmth, for closeness, for reproduction. There's a reason for marriage, for those things to take place in. He says the men left off going with the women to hang out with the guys. He says they left the natural use. They says, let me find my place. And men with men working that which is... There ain't nothing good about that. There ain't nothing holy about that. There ain't nothing godly about what they're doing. He says they left... Started doing things they weren't supposed to do. Unseemly and received in themselves that recompense of the error which is meat. Does anybody ever remember when AIDS came out? They got the recompense of what they were doing. I'm not saying some folks didn't catch this thing other ways. It's just a possibility. Needles, this, that, and the other. But it started out by men doing things with men. And God says, you want to keep doing that? I'm going to throw a little plague down there to help you out. Throw you a little thing down there to worry about. It says, He gave them the recompense. Do you understand that God will give us just what we want if we want it? If you want to be ungodly enough, He'll let you go there. But I want you to understand, there ain't nothing good going to come out of you following your lust, your pride, your earthly stuff. Nothing good will ever come out of you going anything other than towards God. I've got to hurry up or I'll get sidetracked. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they try to, everything we see nowadays tries to put God down here where we're at. Nowhere do we have God holy. Nowhere do we have God high and lifted up. Nowhere do we have God above all things, creator of all things, king of all things, lord of all things. It says, even they did like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. I'm going to park there for just a second. The Bible says that people who hear the preaching of the word and they don't receive it or believe it get harder in their hearts. And every time they hear the word, they get a little harder in their hearts. And there will be a day when you will hear your last sermon and God will give you over to reprobation. Not that I don't understand the grace of God. Not that I don't understand that God saves whom He will. But it never says that a man couldn't if he would, and no man ever would because he won't. But the thing is, God has always had His hand out. If you would, you could. But the Bible says, but they won't. They became reprobate in their minds. Now, there'll be a point where you'll laugh at the things of God. If you hear it long enough, if you don't get saved, if God doesn't save you, if you hear it long enough, there'll be a point in your life where you'll say, not for me. I don't need all that God stuff. I don't need all that religious stuff. I don't need all that holy stuff. Now, just leave me alone. Me and God's got a good thing going on. He don't bother me, and I don't bother Him. So they think. And they have been reprobated minds to do those things which are not convenient. Now we just heard of two bad things going on, but look at this next little bit of this list. I can't go without saying this little bit of list, because this little bit of list is every one of us. We may not have done what the first two did, but look at this list. Being filled with all unrighteousness. If you're not saved right now today, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're one of those who is filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, that goes across the board everywhere you look. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Boy, I wish I had what they got. Murder, boy, I wish he was dead. Debate, I just don't believe what you believe. Deceit, I'll trick them into it. Malignity, whispers. Oh man, did you know what they did? Then backbiters. Oh, I'm going to get him, even if I have to go behind his back and tell you all the bad things he's done. Haters of God. That's everybody that don't love God. You know that, right? If you don't love God, you hate God. That's just the way it is. Haters of God. Despiteful. I'm going to get him back. Proud. Man, ain't nobody better than me. That takes in boasters too. I'm kind of fit there too. Ah, look at what we did. Inventors of evil things. Believe me, if you look long enough, you can find some evil inventions out there to mess with. Disobedient to parents. Children. That's right on that list too. Children. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. And it says, who, knowing the judgment of God. You don't have to be as bad as the first ones. You don't even have to be as bad as the second ones. We fit in the list of the last two verses. We're all right there. Every one of us, we can say, oh, look at what they do. Really? Let me backbite a little bit. Let me be deceitful a little bit. Let me be a little envious a little bit. Let me be one of those people who's against my parents a little bit. Hello? Every one of these is a sin. Every one of these shows us just how ungodly we are. Every one of these shows us just what we're made of. Who, knowing the judgment of God, hello, the judgment of God is coming. I like the way Jonathan Edwards said it. You're like hanging on a little web there over the fire. And the one holding you by the web is God Himself. The only one who can save you is if God picks you up off of that fire. Knowing the judgment of God, every man who was ever born, every woman who was ever born, every child who was ever born, was born hanging over that fire, waiting for God, not God waiting on them. God is going to bring judgment. It's going to come. There's no doubt about it. We've seen the flood. We've seen other things go on. We know God is going to judge. Knowing who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. I was worthy of death. You are worthy of death. Every one of us was born worthy of death. If you think about that, well, I'm going to just show God how good I am. How does somebody born worthy of death prove to God how great and good and nice they are? When the only thing God sees is someone condemned, the only thing God sees is someone who needs a Savior, the only thing God sees is someone who is worthy of death, and we're going to say, check me out. I'm a pretty good old guy. That's what the world thinks. I want you to understand that God, from the very foundation of the world, has said, I will save them that come to me. I will save them who are thirsty, not for water, but for righteousness. Those who are seeking God. Are you seeking God? Now, I understand in the backdrop of that, if you're seeking God, God's working that out. If you're thirsty, God's working that out. I understand that. But if you don't understand what's going on, if you're thirsty for God, if you're hungry for God, if you're looking for God, that's God saying, come unto me, all you who are thirsty. Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden. Come unto me if those sin debt on your back is too heavy for you to carry. Come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. My Bible just said right here that there ain't a single one of us deserves to go to heaven. And yet God says, come unto me. I'll give you the bread of life. Come unto me, I'll give you the water where you'll thirst no more. Come unto me, and I will forgive all of your transgressions and all of your trespasses. Come unto me, and I will take care of you. He says, don't come try to buy it. Don't come try to finagle it. Come unto me and I will give it to you freely. Freely. The price has been paid. The debt has been paid for all those who will come unto me. The them and the us and the we's and those, we know what they are. And if you come unto Him, we know who you are. We know exactly who you are if you're one of the comers. And I will say to you this morning, if you're thirsty for righteousness, if you're seeking out God, if you understand the fact that you're a sinner and you fit in these categories, God has said, if you will come unto me, I will make you white as snow. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Now, if God has not told you any of those things, I don't want you to be religious and try to make anybody impressed. I would hate to make you think, well, I'm going to go up there to show Him I'm something or I ain't. But on the other hand, if God has dealt with you, please tell us. Please let us know. No magic halo is going to pop up on top of your head. Oh, looky there, there's one. The only way we're going to know if you have believed in Jesus Christ is if you tell us. But Keith.